We're doing this series, Jesus is Coming, Jesus the Sequel, Jesus Part 2. And we're up to Advent number 3, and we're talking about hope, a hope of Jesus coming back. These are the two lectionary readings that we have from Isaiah 35 and James 5. And one of the overarching images that you get of from the Bible about Jesus coming back is this the pre-dawn. The sun's going to rise, and we're in that moment, that now but not yet, when the dawn is about to break, but it's still darkness. But we know that sunlight is coming. The light of Christ is coming again. If we look at Advent traditionally, it is actually a time where we don't prepare for Christmas, but it's actually a time where we prepare for Jesus' coming, his second coming. The word second coming isn't actually mentioned in the Bible, but Jesus' return, the day of the Lord, is another way of talking about it in the Bible. Can I have the next slide? I'm going to be looking particularly at this James passage and breaking that down. There's four things that I want to bring out of this James passage. First one is that the Lord's coming is near, it says in James 5. And it starts, that passage that we also had started by saying that Jesus is coming. So let's think about that for a little while. What does that mean? We had this image from Isaiah 35. There's lots of different ways that the Bible describes this coming of the day of the Lord, and it's coming near. And they're very vivid kind of imagery. We've got trumpets. We have, if you read through Revelation, there's some pretty scary stuff there. It's some pretty dramatic imagery going on. And we get some from Isaiah 35 as well, the chapter that was just read out. Now, Isaiah, many people reading Isaiah at the time of Isaiah writing, they would have been in exile, and they would have read that and seen it as something that, oh, this is the coming back of the Israelite people back to the homeland, and everything's going to be all right. When that started to happen, and they came back from exile, and then the Romans came, there was a sense that, hang on, God's day of coming, this great vision that Isaiah gave us, it's not here yet. It's still to come. And then Jesus came, and they thought maybe that's Jesus, but Jesus talked about this coming of the Lord again. And so as Christians, we see these verses from Isaiah 35, no, not yet, sorry. We see these verses from Isaiah 35, and we go, okay, this is about the coming of the Lord again. And did you see some of the stuff that's being said in it? It's really quite hopeful stuff, but also the strong imagery that comes out of it as well. Things like, there's, be strong, don't fear, your God will come, he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. And then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the mute's tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And then it talks about this highway that's being built that will bring everyone back to the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers, only the redeemed will walk in it. Those who've been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. That's a vision that we have, which we hope for, that we long for. All sighing and mourning will disappear, and joy and gladness will fill our hearts forevermore. On this great and terrible and wonderful day, when the man comes around, as we can read from Johnny Cash's song. So trumpets will sound from heaven. The Son of Man will come on a cloud. Everything that Jesus came at Christmas time will be very different the next time. That's for sure. When I think about the time when Jesus will come back, I think of our place in it right now. I think of a Sainsbury ad, actually, which we're going to have. Sainsbury's is a shop, a supermarket chain, a department chain in England, and they did this very expensive ad about World War One, and a particular Christmas Eve on World War One, which you may have seen this, may have seen it before, either here or other places. Would we be able to show that now? And you can say no, and I'll move on. Oh, yes.
Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
It's schön. It's schön.
It's I don't know why it's an ad for Sainsbury's, but let's not go there. But it's a powerful ad. It's a powerful image of peace in a little moment, a little glimpse, a little window of peace amongst the tragedy of war and the violence of our world. The thing is that the Christian hope for the day of the Lord coming is not that. As this ad, it's just a one day, one night, and then they go back and they shoot each other again. That won't happen. That it'll be that kind of peace forever. That enemies were made friends. That's the hope that we have. That's the not yet that we're waiting for. That one moment expanded to eternity. But right now, we have to be content with the glimpses of this new heaven and new earth. The little nights that we have, the unveiling of it. And then go back and understand that we're part of a war, that there is some tragedy going on in this life. That there is pain and suffering. Christmas is actually not a time where we wrap garbage and we put a Christmas paper around it and we have this thin veneer and we make it look nice and pretty for a while. Christmas is actually a time where God deals with the mess of life. with the violence and the tragedy and the suffering. And it's not paper thin. Jesus deals with it by coming and telling us and showing us how to live, and then dying in our place, and then saying, I'm going to come back again and make all things right eventually. Hope for that. The Lord is coming near. But then it says to be patient. Now, this is not an easy message. I discovered this the other day at a synod meeting. We had some great teaching from Craig Bailey, and he's taught for about 45 minutes, so a 45-minute long sermon each morning. And they were really good messages. But I sat there and I was so impatient. I was like, you just give me the script, let me hear it like in two times so that I can just write this down. I've got other things to do. I struggled, but I had to breathe. I had to be patient. And we have to be patient for the Lord's coming. Patience is not an easy lesson, is it? But it's in the patience that God teaches us the most, I think, in the waiting. Temptation is to give up and look for something else, to neglect these teachings of Christ, but to our detriment, to want to jump the queue. But we need to actively wait and anticipate with hope. Having hope in our patience changes our behavior. Think of POW camps, prisoner of war camps, those who have hope that the war will end sometime, eventually. They live differently to those who have given up. We are ones who wait with hope. In the waiting, it says in James, to be prepared, or it actually says, don't grumble about each other. I found out Nicole and I found out last week we were going to have everyone round to not our house for Christmas. Nicole's family, how many in your family with all the cousins? It's about maybe 30 people, 30, 35 people. And we thought, look, we'll have them around our place, but we won't have them in our place. We'll have them at the park, which is a beautiful park right next door to us. But as we looked at the details, we went, actually, they're all going to have to come round to our house and we'll go there after we have lunch together. So in like a week's time, they're coming around next weekend, and we suddenly have to get our house very ready for it and unpack some of those boxes we haven't unpacked yet. In some ways, this is the same as what Jesus is saying. I'm coming back. Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself? Do you need to clean out your house? And James could have had a whole list of things, but in the end he says, don't grumble about each other. Don't grumble. At the end of this little passage it says, the judge is standing at the door. It's not an image we would like too much. We don't like to be judgy anymore, do we? We don't like judgment. We prefer to think of Jesus as the kind, compassionate, loving one who heals us. But he is also the judge, standing at the door. And in some ways, actually, in many ways, that's a really great thing. The thing is, as you look at yourself and you reflect, and Advent is a time to inwardly reflect and to prepare your house, you may go, look, I'm not what God wants me to be. I'm struggling to fight this battle in a world around me. Well, that's what Jesus died for people like you and me. You know, no one here has been perfect. Jesus is perfect. Earlier at Christmas, before Easter time, we talked about redemption. Jesus is the judge, but he's also the one who took the place for us. He took the violence of this world upon himself. Violence to be inflicted upon you and me. He took it on himself. so that we would be made clean. In John's start of John's Gospel, it says, those who receive and believe in the name of Jesus Christ will be called children of God. Grace and mercy upon mercy. I want to finish with a quick story of how this comes together. Horatius of Bonar, he's a Scottish free church minister from 1808 to 1889, and he wrote a number of great hymns, including I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Bonar knew great suffering in his life. Five of his children died in quick succession, five of them, and left him and his wife utterly bereft. Yet the hope of glory kept him going. Belief illuminated the darker side of life, allowing him to look beyond his personal tragedy to the glory that awaited him. In the words of Bonar himself, he says, we are but as wayfaring men and women, wandering in the lonely nights, who see dimly upon the distant mountain peak the reflection of a sun that never rises here, but which shall never set in the new heavens thereafter. And this is enough. It comforts and cheers us on our dark and rugged way. And so may the sorrow and mourning, it will disappear, and we will be filled with joy and gladness. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this message from Isaiah and from James. Thank you for the glimpses of this new heaven and new earth that we see in this life. Lord, help us to patiently wait. Lord, it's a really hard lesson, but with the Holy Spirit, we know that you can help us. And Jesus, as we think about you coming to judge the world, help us to prepare our house. Help us to trust in your grace and your mercy, to say thank you for what you've done for us, to turn to you. In Jesus' name.